Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
The former president's criminal hush money trial, a New York appeals court judge denied his request to delay the trial. That decision only took the judge about 40 minutes after arguments concluded. And we're also learning what prospective jurors will be asked. Kara Scannell joins us now with details.
There are the basic questions about where do you live in the city, what do you do, where do you get your news, but they're also trying to dig in and root out whether there's any bias here for or against Donald Trump, and they do this. So they've asked a number of questions of, have you ever worked for Trump, his campaign, his administration? Have you ever attended any rallies for Trump? Have you attended any rallies against Trump? And they're also asking if you belong to any fringe groups. They cite QAnon, the Proud Boys, but also Antifa. And one question they asked, which I thought was interesting and really specific to this case, is, do you have any strong beliefs about whether a former president can be criminally charged in state court? Because there are these questions about immunity and about whether, you know, the politics of going after a former president. I mean, another thing that is interesting here, the judge made it clear there will be no questions about political contributions, who you voted for or who you like, because as the judge has said and reminded, the issue here is not to determine whether someone likes Trump or doesn't like Trump, but whether they can be fair and impartial.
So just to add to that CNN Anderson Cooper report, I believe there are 42 questions. And what that lady did not include in her report is question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury, which is, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station, what shows? So I spoke to a couple of attorneys last night, and they said that is directed at you. Of course, I still can't believe that's true, but it may be true. But let me read this before I get to the great defense attorney, the best in the world, Joseph Tacopina. And this comes from the very prestigious judge who joins me every Friday, who Tacopina loves, Andrew Napolitano. And he wrote this, texted me about an hour ago. He said, just heard you talk about the Trump trial jury questionnaire. Let me tell you what the judicial mind thinks about when crafting these questions. The court is not looking for all influences on potential jurors. That would be impossible to ascertain. The court is looking for effective influences on potential jurors. In New York City, on all matters Trump, that's you and you alone. I know you're not a fan of Justice Mershon, but he obviously recognizes your effectiveness. See you Friday. Watlow.
Nothing. I was listening to it. It's true. I believe it.
No, you don't.
Yes,
like,
I do.
Sid, don't. No. Don't make this about you. But I'm going to ask Joseph Tacopina. And if Joseph Tacopina thinks this is about me, then we'll leave it right there. If he doesn't, then we'll move on to the crumbly parents. Joseph Tacopina, good morning, buddy. How are you?
It's about you. I mean,
it's about you.
They're not really talking about this trial on WFAN. And I don't even think they know there is a trial on WFAN. So what morning show? I mean, you know, what is it, 10:10? They do the helicopter, traffic, and weather, right? So what other morning talk show in New York City would they be talking about on the radio? So basically, congratulations, you made it into the most historical trial in the United States history, the first criminal trial of a former president of the United States, and you are prominently featured as someone who the prosecutors want to avoid listenership at all costs.
So you believe, because Napolitano included the name Mershon, and somebody else earlier said, oh, Noam Layden said, wow, it really is pretty incredible that this repulsive DA, Alvin Bragg, clearly, you know, in his head, you believe both of those things are true?
Well, for sure. And it's not so much in his head. He probably doesn't listen to you, Sid. But what I think it is he knows anyone listening to you probably has the same perspective that, you know, most people who don't have a political agenda one way or another have, which is that this case is not really a case worth bringing. It shouldn't have been brought. There's very specific laws for federal campaign election laws and those violations, and this doesn't meet it. How they take a misdemeanor, private record-keeping issue, turn it into a felony when there were no filings done, there were no tax deductions taken. This was not filed with the FEC. Had this been claimed as a deduction with the FEC, there would have been a whole different level of bang for the scalp of President Trump. I mean, it would have been a whole different world. They would have been screaming that he committed a fraud. So he's damned if he did, damned if he didn't. But so that clearly was geared towards you, that question, because I read the question and I really did try and say, who could they be talking about? Do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station shows? Well, again, no one cares about sports radio. No one cares about the 10-10 where you're just getting like the news headlines. There's no commentary. It's you. And that's pretty funny that you have that sort of influence now. And your listenership does. So that's what they're trying to weed out. Crazy. I guarantee you, if there was a juror who says, yeah, I'm a big fan of Sid and Friends in the morning, I listen every morning. Gone.
Well, can he lie, whoever he is, and go in there and help my friend Trump?
Well, okay, don't start me. I can't. I'm a lawyer, and I cannot advocate lying in a courtroom.
I don't want you to do that. Right. But somebody did.
In New Jersey, I had the guy with the hit and run, and he loved you and loved me and loved us on the show.
Wait. Who was this?
I love you.
No, who was this now?
This guy from New Jersey, we had a case. I think it was James Rodriguez. But we had a case where the guy actually listened to your show. We talked about it on your show. And he ruled himself out as a juror because he was so candid about how much he loves you, how much he loves you and I on the show. And he's a big fan of the show. And that was the end of him. He was excused. And I just remember thinking, I think I said the other next day, if you love us so much, why don't you just be quiet and just say I can be fair and impartial, blah, 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 justice in America.
What was that guy's name again?
I think it was Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, right. And then correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was the very high-profile Westchester baby shake case, right?
That was a different one. That was a different acquittal. That was a hit-and-run case in New Jersey with a death. That guy was found not guilty. The one you're talking about in Westchester was a shaken baby case where the guy who was found not guilty. And lo and behold, another fan of yours, the former detective, Westchester DA's detective, Joe Vitulli, who I didn't know, approached me out of nowhere and said, you're Joe Taxpayer. I was like, yeah. And I was like, he looks like a cop. I'm like, is this it? Am I getting arrested now? What do I do? And I said, And so he said, no, I'm a big fan of yours. And Sid, I listen to Sid every day. He's the best. And how did you beat that shaken baby case? And by the way, if you remember, that case was a case that almost got me in a lot of trouble for going on your show. After the summation, I went on your show and basically said what I said in the summation to the jury. And the next day, the prosecutors came into court. No, that morning they came into court. Oh, raising holy hell. And the judge was all offended. And I said, it's everything I said to the jury estimation. So before you make ethical allegations, you should know what the rules of ethics are, which is if I said it in open court, I can repeat it publicly. So have a nice day. But they were really all ripped that I was on your show.
That's great.
Joe Vitulli is a big fan. You have so many fans out there who come up to me, and they don't care that I represented this one or that one or the other one or whatever. You're on Sid's show. So it's pretty, pretty funny.
It is funny. And that when you say stuff like that, Joseph, it makes me believe that question number 12 may very well be directed at me. Yeah. Let's throw you on hold for 2 seconds. I do want to come back and discuss this Crumbly case where it looks like mom and dad are going to prison for upwards of 15 years. Talking about unprecedented with President Trump going to court for a criminal trial on Monday. This one unprecedented too. We'll talk more with the best defense attorney in the world. My dear friend, Joseph Tacopino. We'll be right back.
A lot of people, they be talking just to hear me rock the mic. They be staring at the radio, staying up all night.
WABC. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Just to review the questionnaire to the jury for President Trump's criminal trial, which begins this Monday in New York City. Of the 42 questions, question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury, quote, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station, what shows? And according to Joe Tacopina, Angela Politano, and many others, Chad Lopez just dropped off this unbelievably beautiful, I mean beautiful, platter I don't know who it's from or why. Oh, from a listener. Well, thank you, Chad. Thank you very much. You look very handsome today. According to those brilliant men, they believe that question 12 to the Trump jury is about me. But there's another case I want to get to with Joseph, and that is this Crumbly case out of Michigan. This kid, Ethan Crumbly, went to school one day, this 15-year-old animal, and took a gun that his parents got for him and murdered his schoolmates, killed four of them and injured seven others. Well, for the first time ever now, they've arrested the parents. The kid claimed he went to his mom and dad, said, help me, help me, help me. They did nothing about it. They bought a gun, and now they have been found guilty, and they're about to serve a lot of time in a prison. I want to play this, Lou, if you can. It is the mother, Jen Crumbly, where she says yesterday, right before her sentencing, I still love my son. Jen Crumbly, cut number 5.
This would be any parent here, my shoes. Even to be your child, to be your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, your brother, your sister. Your child can make a fatal decision, not just with a gun, but a knife, a vehicle, intentionally or unintentionally. If there's anything the general public can take away from this, is that this could happen to you too. The tragedy has taught me the true meaning of unconditional love. As I watch my parents still love and care for me wholeheartedly, no matter what has happened. If there's nothing else I can do right in life, I do still love my son unconditionally, and perhaps that is my purpose.
All right, there is Jen Crumbly from yesterday in court. Let's get right to Takapina. You and I have discussed this case before. Unprecedented, arresting the parents after their son was arrested for a school shooting. You and I both agreed that we thought, even though it does maybe set a dangerous precedent, that because of the details of this case, it made sense. Now they get sentenced, mom and dad looking at 10 to 15 years. You think, Joseph, that was apropos or a bit aggressive?
Again, as a defense attorney, I would normally be, you know, repulsed by a sentence that one would appear to have to be a psychic to receive. You know, in other words, they had to know something was going on with their son. Like, they weren't the aiders and abettors per se, but here, Sid, they were. They, you know, parents are not expected to be psychic. But as the judge said, these convictions are not about poor parenting. The convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of that could have halted this runaway train. And you know, they repeatedly ignored things that would make any parent, you know, say, oh, my God, what's going on? I mean, first of all, the kid had mental problems. I mean, he made that clear. He would write his parents, say things to his parents. He kept a diary saying that I keep telling him I need help. They won't give me help. Instead, they went and bought him a gun. I mean, you got to be so stupid. Yeah. Then,
by the way, it may not have been about bad parenting, but they were pretty bad parents.
Well, they were so bad that it rose to the level of criminality. Look, Sid, if one of our kids do something, you know, and we do everything we can as parents to be, you know, good parents, and they go off the rails on their own, we're not legally responsible. I mean, I'm sure we'll lose sleep and we'll feel destroyed morally, but we're not legally responsible. To get to that level, which is the first time in this country's history we've ever had this, you have to basically do what these people did, which is ignore all the warning signs. Buy a 15-year-old with mental issues a gun. Do not safe keep the gun. Don't put it in a lockbox. Don't put one of those cable clips around that prevent it from shooting. Then, cherry on top, they're called the day of the shooting by the school to say, you know, Junior's done some pretty bad things in math class today. We found some disturbing drawings, and how he's talking about killing himself. Maybe you should come to school and bring him home. And the parents both said, we're too busy at work. If he needs to come home, he should walk home. And the school, concerned for this 15-year-old kid, allowed him to remain at school as opposed to just opening the door saying, okay, you want to kill yourself? Take a walk home. Hope you make it. You know, because the parents actually said they couldn't leave work. That is despicable. Mm. They deserve every day of the 10 to 15 years they're going to get. And as a defense attorney, it's not easy for me to say it, but I mean, I'm putting my prosecutorial hat back on. You know, I'm a full prosecutor.
Yeah.
I would have gone after these people with the full weight of the law, and they deserve it.
I feel the same way, and it got me thinking now, you know, look, Adam Lanza actually killed his mom. before he went to the Newton School, Newtown School, and killed all those little kids. You know, you look at Dylan Klebold. That was the first that I remember, 1999 Columbine. And I've seen Klebold's mother being interviewed since the Crumbleys got arrested. And you know, she played it off pretty good. I didn't know. But you got me thinking now about all these other kids who've committed these heinous school shootings, and maybe they should go back and look at those cases and arrest some of those parents.
Yeah, I mean, this one just jumped off the page, though, Sid. I mean, the school is saying, please come get your son. We think he has problems. We think he's going to hurt himself. We think, you know, there's these disturbing drawers. And the parents like, too busy. Just let him walk home.
Wow.
I mean,
jeez.
You're disgusting. Yeah. You really are disgusting. Yeah. And then they try to play off like the mother actually said she didn't know that he had a gun, yet the court had text messages of her talking about the gun. And she posted on social media a picture of the gun she got for her son for her birthday.
Oh, boy.
His 15th birthday. So, I mean, just the lack of remorse, the lack of humanity. I could care less if these people, you know, see the light of day, quite frankly, because there are a bunch of little kids who are dead because of their inactivity, a lack of basic parenting skills, lack of humanity.
I agree. One of the mothers actually said, clearly you didn't cherish your son, but I did mine. Joseph Tacopina, as always, not a good job, a great job. I'm bringing you back again on Friday. I want to discuss Friday. Now you're just 3 days away from Trump's trial, so you're so good you're coming back twice in 3 days. So thank you for hopping on this morning. I love you. We'll do it again in 2 days.
Okay, brother. See you soon.
Take care. The great famed defense attorney, the best in the world, my dear friend Joseph Tacopina.